And I believe we're live now. Yep, we are live. Let me make sure everything is straight on my end because this thing is about to come in and blow my ears off. All right, I want to thank everyone for joining us on episode 41. This time around, it's just me and Dave. Ryan may jump in towards the middle, but go ahead and say hello, Dave.
What's up? Dave from Windy City Dent Repair out of Chicago.
Good, good. So, Chris Dillon's Touch, if anybody's wondering. I think we say this like every live chat, but let's get the chat going. Dave, do you have some tools?
Unfortunately, I do not today. I was finishing up a hail car pretty much up until up until the show here, so I didn't even grab anything on the way, and it was like grub, get to the office and get on the show. So unfortunately, I didn't bring anything today.
All right. Well, as we wait till the room gets a few watchers. I have the BD tools. They call it the edge pliers.
And a half.
It's actually bigger than I thought. I kind of have small hands, so it's pretty stout. So I was playing with this today. I just got it in. Shout out to Mike. He sent me one to kind of review and give my opinion. So I was playing with it today with the car that was in the shop. It's definitely worth the money so far.
What are they running? What are they going for?
I don't know. I think they're around 150.
Okay.
If this is actually like $200, I think it's worth it, to be honest. It's so heavy. Feels like when you drop this, it's just gonna take it. A little scuff here and that's it. But it's well designed. I will tell you, if you put your fingers around any of these moving areas, it will pinch you like crazy. So, but it's patent pending. It's called the Edge Pliers. So the panel goes in between.
Right now on their tool or on their website here.
He said it's been out for about 6 months, and he can't even keep them on the shelf right now.
$209.99.
Yeah, I don't see this being $100, $150 tool. I mean, it's just the material alone has to be expensive.
I can tell from here that it's stout.
It's stout. This I have no problem, at least for me, just throwing it in a little tool bin, guaranteeing it'll be okay. Now it comes with this plastic tip. We'll have to check it out.
I like even on my edge jack, I like to use metal.
Yes.
I know sometimes it will kind of mar up that edge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Typically it's behind the panel or under the panel. The edge that you're seeing, but I usually use metal just to kind of break through typically those double skins that we're trying to get through. Occasionally you'll get that single panel or that single, that single sheet of metal that you're able to push through with a plastic tip. I just feel like a ball metal tip usually is best, at least on my edge jack, but those right there look pretty stout. And, I think I'm going to definitely have to get those because that seems like it's a lot easier to maneuver, maybe than the edge jack because it's all one solid piece instead of two.
Yes. So it's actually two pieces. Obviously, they put a bolt in the middle of it. And it's a pretty stout bolt with a lock nut on it. Some tools, I don't understand why they don't use either Loctite or whatever, or just a locking nut. I mean, some of these manufacturers just don't understand. But anyway, this has a lock nut on it. It's not coming out. I don't even know how they got that thing in there. I guess they tighten it up from here. I mean,
crazy power.
Yes. It's one hand. And I have some pretty good forearm strength, but I mean, I think my daughter can do damage and she's not even two. Like, I really feel like if someone just lightly squeezes, I mean, you just have so much control. But this is the edge jack. And if you guys are just following us, I'll tell you, Dave. I forgot to make this live in public, so the viewers are going to start coming in right now. So that was my fault. I was wondering why we were the only two people watching. So more and more people are coming into the chat because I just made this live. So I do apologize and I'm sorry about that, guys. We were talking for the last 5 minutes and realized that no one was here.
So I'm Dave from Windy City, Denver, out of Chicago. This is Chris with Dentless Touch out of DC. And actually what we're going over right now is the new tool that he was given. It's the BND Edge Pliers. They're brand new from them, or they came out about 6 months ago. They're the Edge Pliers, and they are for the edge of a panel. So you're looking at the edge of a door, at the edge of a hood. When you have a dent with no access, or it's at that edge of the panel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So Chris has been kind of explaining that. So if you want to kind of go over the usability of that real quick.
Just basically, you know, the difference, I believe the only other tool that can move edge is the, I think it's Shane Jack's edge tool, okay. Edge Jack, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Edge Jack.
Edge Jack, and they come in two sizes.
Yes. I have both of them. That's the only tool we were able to use for two or three years, I believe. So, and I was playing around with this, on a car that I have sitting there, and you have just tons of power. Like I said, you just have to slightly squeeze one hand. You can kind of move your head to see in between the, basically these footings. I don't know. I think we'll go back over. I believe the tool is 209. It's extremely stout build. It's patent pendant, so I don't think you'll see a lot of copies of these tools.
Can you see that the metal that you're actually moving when you're using it? Because I know in the Edge Jack it has that hole, so you can have that light kind of shine through. With this, are you still kind of hunting and pecking rather than actually able to see what you're moving?
You can see, yes, okay. Because the feet are a little further out and they're smaller. When I use the Edge Jack, I'm using it with the Kiko. Those feet are, the footing is big. It's only about an inch, maybe 2 inch gap, maybe an inch and a half. It's smaller than this. So I kind of go off of an angle.
Yeah.
So, and then you can kind of, you put your light at like a 45 and then you still get visual to see. So I'll tell you one thing, guys, you know, I don't know if you guys work on a dealer lot or any just retail. I mean, one job will pay for this. I am going to try. I have so many reviews I have to do on tools right now, guys. So bear with me. This probably won't be released for another month or two. I like to put it through its paces. Anything breaks or anything like that, I'll let you guys know.
Are those adjustable feet there?
They're adjustable feet. Yep. And they swivel. They already have a foam pad on it.
I like that. And I do love my Edge Jack. And like you said before, that is the only thing that we've been given so far to kind of fix edges. I don't know if it's everyone's complaint, but, you know, my only gripe is that, it's two-handed. You have to kind of finagle that Edge Jack. If you don't have a solid piece, some guys have it already, you know, permanently attached to one of their mini lifters. But if you don't, like myself, I have both sizes and they're separate from my mini lifter. And I'm kind of fiddling with both as I'm trying to fix damage. Holding the Edge Jack and then getting the mini lifter right, tightening in, it's falling. And I mean, that seems like a huge, maybe improvement or at least another tool that's going to be beneficial for us and maybe make that sort of damage a little easier since that is a one-handed operation. And you still have the same amount of power, which is nice.
Exactly.
So 209 from BND.
Yeah, BND Tools, guys. I think it's bndtools.net if anybody's interested. So give me a second, guys. We were a little late. I did not make the video public, so that means you didn't see it. Everything was done, and we normally kick those things out around 12. So give me a minute, guys. I'm just going to do some posts. Actually, if you guys can just share it on any social media or any dent page so we can get some more viewers in here. I do apologize, guys. For the mishap. All right, so let's just go on the topic while more and more people enter the chat. And the topic is dealing with weather conditions as a mobile PDR tech. And Ryan had this suggestion, and he's not here. this time. So, Dave, I mean, it's all on you. I try to motivate my customers to.
You've been there though, so it's my like shop. You know, you've been there. Now I think you know you're a little more bougie, as we would say, or
oh, come on,
you're a little more comfortable for you now. Nah. You know,
But
I think from when you were starting out, and even in those beginning years as a tech, or maybe just even as of recent. You know, within the last couple of years, you've dealt with weather conditions as a PDR tech, and it's not fun, especially when you live in a four season. It's turning into like 5-6, but you know, when you live in a four season climate, you have your spring, summer, fall, and winter.
Mm-hmm.
It can be tough trying to deal with all of these elements and do a good job. Either out on the lot at a customer's house, or even just traveling to and from stop to stop. You know, so I'm in Chicago and we get everything. So we get your rain, your sleet, your snow, your summer, a little bit of hail, rain. I mean, we get everything you can imagine. You know, I think besides hurricanes and tsunamis, that's the only thing we don't get. But we, you know, and our biggest thing is snow. That's what we have to deal with. And in the dead of winter, when it's it can be really, really tough as a mobile tech to be out there trying to do a good job and deliver a quality repair. You know, some of the things that I do, basic things are just layering, obviously. When I'm going to start my day, I'm looking at that weather and I know that crappier weather's coming. Me personally, I do have a summer set of clothes and a winter. So it starts to get to that, go ahead.
I'm not a big coat guy. So you're in the elements, I guess the cold more being where you're at. Do you have to have a big coat?
I don't prefer a big coat. I used to do just kind of some layers and then a big Carhartt jacket. But what I found is the Carhartt jacket, if it's not embroidered or lettered, the when you're showing up to a customer's home, the stigma kind of gives off just isn't the most professional if it's not embroidered, lettered, stitched, or anything like that. So typically what I'll do in the winter is layer up under, and then I do have a set of coveralls. Kind of like mechanics will wear something like that. It's not the full suit, it is just the overalls. But at least through that, I'm wearing my jacket underneath that has Windy City Dent Repair and my name. So, and they're black, so they kind of match the uniform and you can still see the logo of the company. I'm wearing a Windy City hat. So I still want to be represented as I'm showing up to either an account or a customer's house. So yeah, I don't do a big coat. I just do layers because a big coat sometimes can get in the way. So I still like to have movability of my arms, which is why I like the coveralls, because they'll cover all the way from the ankles over the boot all the way up to the chest. And then at that point, I got a couple shirts, long sleeve, maybe a hoodie, and then just a Windy City, either polo or jacket over. So I still have functionability with my arms if I need to move over or push. If I need to do something. So for me, it's just layering. That's what I'm doing.
As I was outfitting one of my vehicles, I was thinking about a generator, which is not hard, but it's those big panel heaters that they use in the body shop and the paint booths. And if you walk by them, they're giving off some pretty decent heat, and it's a large panel. I think they're about 20, you can buy them like 24 inches and they can stack them. So you may have like two of them. I don't know how many amps does it draw, but have you looked into something like that to kind of sit by you and the car, kind of heat both things, or is it just not giving off as much heat?
I have not. Mostly just because being mobile, having access to power, it can sometimes be difficult. So it's going to be heat gun or torch for me.
Okay. So you literally just bust out the elements. Like you're just out there.
That's it. You know? But everything's slower. I mean, you're taking your time more. Yeah. You're dealing with the weather. It's not like you're running and gunning like you are, you know, when it's nice and busy and you're comfortable. Everything's at a slower pace. I mean, from scheduling to, you know, even just workflow. So you kind of have that time to heat the panel and kind of deal with it, check it, make sure it's hot and warm enough before you push. But yeah, I mean, these days I'm trying to find a spot inside if I can, that's going to be first. You know, if I don't have to do it with the elements, I'm not going to. I'm going to deliver a better quality repair inside somewhere. If I don't have to, you know, I'm going to try to be inside. But yeah, it's hard to get mobile power like that to, you know, put a big panel heater outside. And so it's torch or heat gun.
Yeah, I just looked at one of the views of me. Layers. Yeah, that's kind of me. I don't like the big heavy coat, so I do recommend layers.
Yeah, and well, I mean, even last week, and that Milwaukee coat that you did, that you brought on, which has kind of been great for this episode. So if you guys haven't checked that out, you can check out episode 40. Chris brought on a Milwaukee coat, and it's battery powered. So for you guys who are in a colder climate, go back to that. He kind of explains it. There's some reviews online and stuff about the Milwaukee battery powered heated jacket that has heated pockets, and the whole entire body is heated as well. So that's a good pickup if someone doesn't have that, like myself. So I don't have one. So what do I do? I'm doing what Kasparov said. I'm doing layers. So, you know, and that's kind of how I do things. I'm trying to find a spot inside. And then at that point, if I do get a spot inside, those layers are just usually coming off one by one as I'm working, you know, putting them all back on right before I leave and go to the next stop, you know?
So if any, you know, new techs that, you know, is just getting into the industry, how much does the weather affect you? Like, I know we're talking about cold right now, so let's continue on that. But it being, you know, right now is what, about like 35 degrees out there right now?
Today was a high of 28.
So 28. So that's pretty cold. How does this affect, you know, time on that den? I mean, how much time is it actually adding?
It's adding time. I mean, depending on the difficulty of the den, if it does require heat, or it's one of those on the border where you know, maybe in the summer you didn't need heat, you know, but now it's winter, it's going to slow it. The elements just slow everything down. Especially,
I mean, what do you think percentage wise? 50%?
Yeah, easy.
I agree.
It's all dependent on damage, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it's going to add time regardless.
Yeah. I agree. So yeah, the propane, have you ever tried the propane heater? I had a little small one. It did very well. But I know when we were at the racetrack and in the trailers, we would run the big propane and the brick tanks with the little heaters on top. And then I run one in the shop. I have one in the shop just in case the gas heater goes down, which tends to go down like every 2 weeks. So, you know, and it's able to heat the shop. So what about that, Dave? Have you reached out to one of those radiant propane heaters? Have you tried one?
I have not.
Okay. All right. Well, now, you were talking about the Under Armour cold gear. Sorry, I had a long day, guys. Under Armour cold gear, kind of, is that what you're leaning towards? Is more of the layers you found to be the best?
I'm doing long underwear. I'm doing Under Armour cold gear. I'm getting tops and bottoms.
Okay.
And then, you know, usually typically jeans, which is what, and then if it's, if I know if it's going to be, you know, crappy weather outside, the coveralls will, you know, be added to the, to the layers.
So someone said the Makita jacket also turns into a vest. So
okay,
I have to actually buy both of them because I actually prefer a vest now more so than the
actual full jacket.
The full jacket just kind of looks so baggy, and medium's too small, large is too big. So I'm kind of in that middle ground, I guess.
You just like that nice tight, slim fit.
Yeah, I like tight, but still let my reach so it doesn't really come up and kind of be short right here, kind of cut off. Right. So it's kind of hard, but you know, I think I tried it on. I've had that jacket for a long time. So if anybody knows me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was a little bit heavier than what I am right now, or a lot heavier. So I think I bought that jacket right around when I was like 230 or whatever. So, I don't know if it fits me anymore, but anyway, the Makita jacket that turns into a vest, that sounds like a winner right there. Dave, is there any temperature that you like, man, flat out, I won't work in, I have to bring the car outside, I mean inside?
Typically when it's even probably about what it was today, 28, 30 degrees, somewhere in there. I mean, if it's below freezing, I'm trying to find a spot inside. I'm not trying to be out there with metal tools in my hands with gloves on, working on a cold metal car. You know, and I'm just coming from a perspective of someone dealing with rain and snow, you know, so I don't know how it is for the guys in California, Florida, Arizona, Vegas.
I love
it. We're dealing with extreme heat. You know, what happens when you got 115, 120, 125 degree days? You know, and a couple of those back to back, you know, and those guys, I'm sure, are trying to find spots inside, but they're not looking for a heater. You know, they're looking for something with AC. You know, so I can only imagine what that's like. But for us, yeah, here in Chicago, we're dealing with elements such as, you know, rain, sleet, snow, hail. You know, our summers aren't that bad. But, you know, as we're getting to these colder months now, and it's getting a lot colder, at least this year, than it was in the past couple of years, really fast. So that transition's had to be made pretty quickly.
I know when I have a certain limit. It's windshield, I guess, windshield, if I'm saying that, or just the wind. Yeah, I guess the windshield or whatever. And then the temperature, like you said, Dave, once it gets into the 20 and that wind's blowing, that's it. And, you know, like you said, once it gets to my feet, I am done. So I try to prevent stuff like that. You know, I put like heat warmers, layer up on the socks. And I don't know if you guys I Vaseline'd out on my face, my hands, anywhere that the wind can kind of cut into a jacket. So at my wrists, my hands, my face. Like I'm Vaseline'd out, not lotion, Vaseline. Yeah,
really.
It's the only thing that works. I mean, you put that on your cheek, your face, the wind will blow right there, and you'll notice the areas because you know you're obviously not gonna put it around your eyes, so you'll notice the areas that you didn't apply it to, and you're like, okay, let me apply that. And then recently, there's I don't know, you might know Dave, but what's that kind of that worker's hand, lotion, I guess they call it, or hand cream.
It's yeah, really they call it working popular. Hands.
Oh, working. Okay. So recently my hands, when I'm out in the elements, it starts to crack and bleed. It's never done it, but for the last 2 years when I'm working outside in extreme cold now, and over like 2 to 3 hours, they'll start to crack and then bleed. So
yeah,
it's painful as crap.
Okay. Keith's working hands.
Yeah. So
I get at Target, Walmart, stuff like that.
Yeah. They sell them everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been my lifesaver outside, you know, working. I think, you know, I have no problem working outside. I know you said, well, I'm kind of bougie. I'm like, wait a minute here. I just have a shop. So I try to lead my customers to my shop. I think they just kind of understand because I just started to notice I don't really work outside too much anymore, like the last 2 years since the shop.
But you've been there. I mean, you've walked lots in the
cold. Yeah, man. Heck man.
Going outside and, you know, even walking a lot, I still got to go every week. You know, I'm if the cars haven't been wiped off, guess who's doing it? You know, I'm not going to wait around, you know, for my money. If it's sitting right there, I'm not going to leave it on the table. So.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I'm asking for a brush and, you know, I'm trying to skim these paint, you know, and you're not going to find everything, obviously. But you know, that takes time and you're walking the lot, which used to take, you know, maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes now taking, you know, 25, 35, 45 minutes. Sometimes, you know, up to an hour, if you're actually brushing cars off, which can be pretty difficult. So we have to do that here in Chicago. We have to brush cars off in the snow, you know, on one of our lots. Because everything's outside, and if they haven't done it yet, you know, and we're the first ones there to see the cars, then you know we're the ones that are going to be helping brushing those cars off.
So let's talk about other elements here. So, rain. How do you pretty much handle that? I know what I do is I just basically grab two umbrellas and try to push underneath the umbrellas. As long as the wind's not blowing, I'm okay.
I'm the same way. I have a mobile tech shade. And actually now I have Get a Grip with his new mount and his umbrella too. So both of those,
which is like 8 feet, right? Or something ridiculous.
Between both of those umbrellas. So rain. Yeah. I mean, if it's not nasty, just a little drill, something like that. I'm going to be out there, still push him.
Okay. And the heat. I know we do.
I mean, we get 80, 90 degree days. That's just a normal day. I'd like to see if anyone here, you know, maybe deals with extreme heat, and how you guys kind of deal with that. That would be nice if you guys can maybe have some insight to that. Maybe you guys in the southern states there, or in just a warmer temperature, where you get those 100 degree streaks or those 105, 110. We don't get those here in Chicago. You know, so I wonder what that's like, you know, when you're dealing with 115 degrees and you're trying to walk a lot, you know, and fix all these cars, and you know, when you open that car door and you get that burst of just hot, you know, and then you go to turn the car on to roll the windows down and it's just hot.
Yeah.
You know, I can only imagine. But you know, I say that being from Chicago, I would take that over snow any day. I'll say that. But yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, I was kind of going a little off topic. Slick just said something about hand warmers, which is a very good, you know, suggestion. But do you remember? I can't quite get the name. There was a rocks in a bag. That's all I know. It's at my grandma's house. And if you keep playing with the bag, it will warm up. It's an old school. I don't like it was sitting on her dresser, and I remember playing with it. So I was a little kid, and obviously, you know, I'm an adult, and I'm looking for this, you know, reusable heat bag, and I can't find it. So if anybody knows what the heck I'm talking about, maybe they banned it or something.
Are you talking like a heating pad with like the little beans in it? Like the little.
So it has the beans in it, but literally if you let it rest, it will go down to the normal temperature. But as soon as you start playing with your hands, it'll start to heat up.
Interesting.
And that thing had to look, you know, 5 years old, like, and it still worked like the, you know, I guess when, you know, 5 years ago. So I don't know. I also have a heating USB. So it's like a USB drive, about half of a cell phone. It's a little bit bigger than this battery. So it's like twice the size. And I think you charge it for like an hour. It lasts for an hour. So it's like, it's called a hand warmer. So it's so small that you can actually slide it in the glove and it'll keep your hand warm. So my wife bought that for Christmas about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. And I still have that. I use it. It's hard for me to people all both. It's hot hands I'm talking about. I think it's not a modern little heating pad. So I think hot hands is like the new stuff. But see, hot hands, as soon as you mess with it and you let it rest, not crack it, but as soon as you kind of agitate the rocks in it, it does get warm. But then when once it gets cool, that's it.
It's a one.
It's only a few. Yeah, and that's a good one. I really like that because it can get hot. Like you leave that in your pocket, you're golden. That thing. I actually had to pull it out of my pocket. It was so hot. And say, all right, it's time to use it, and you can play with it in your hands. But, yeah. Anyway, maybe some guy has a grandma or mother that used to have one of those things because I can't find them. I was just searching on eBay and whatnot. Because it's reusable. So that's what I thought was pretty good. All right. Any other topic? I know this is like a quick, easy topic before we go into some Q&As for you guys. Any other things y'all guys want us to touch? It lasts up to 10 hours. I mean, it's to me, hot hands is the best. I used to get them, and then when I'm at the lot. Have you done this, Dave? Let me ask you. When I'm at the lot, I get a whole pack. Like I go to Costco and get, I don't know, 50 of those things. When I'm at the lot, I feel bad for like the other vendors that's just sitting there freezing. So do you ever give away like some hand warmers to them?
I do not.
I do it all the time. I just feel like, hey, here's some hand warmers. They're like, I don't know, 50 cents each.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, you know, maybe it helps out. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm just such a nice guy, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. You're a lot nicer to others than I am. I don't know.
They always, you know, definitely appreciate me. Giving it to them. Sure. They're like, yeah, definitely.
Which is why I gotta brush my own cars off at the lot. I don't know.
Maybe that's it. I mean, they clearly make room for me. But all right, let's get into the Q&A, guys. I think we're kind of done dealing with the weather conditions. Do you add any price difference when you have to?
No. Scheduling just takes a toll. Just knowing if it is severe weather. Or there is just crappy weather outside. The scheduling does take a little hit. Stuff spaced out more. You can't cram as much into the day. Traffic is then obviously backed up more. So things go a little bit slower.
And you actually had a customer that was really, really upset that the fact that you could not work on his car in the snow, right?
Was correct.
Snow, yeah. Or something?
Yeah, I think this was about the same time last year, maybe somewhere. Around the same time last year. Yeah. And for some, I don't think it was like super cold or was snowing that week or something. And, they had asked for an estimate and we, told them that due to the severe weather that, right now we currently weren't taking any appointments, and they were really upset that the dent on their car was not going to be repaired the week of Thanksgiving. And so they ended up leaving a 1-star review, which we kindly reiterated in the review and in our response that we don't accommodate due to lack of impatience. There was clearly severe weather outside and there's nothing we can do about that.
That's unfortunate, but it shows you kind of like where the times are going. It's people are just a little impatient.
And we don't cater to that. So it's unfortunate that they felt the need to leave us a 1-star review, which it could have been easily resolved. But,
that's just business. As someone says, you can't please everyone, I guess. So yeah, as much as we try. Right.
And, we gave them a nice response back. We tried to accommodate as best we could. They ended up, scheduling with us at all, but it is what it is. When there's weather like that, that's just going to affect things. And being a complete mobile company, it can be difficult trying to cater to every customer in severe weather.
Yep, I agree.
Or inclement weather.
Yeah. All right. So I guess there's a new Milwaukee glove out. I got to check those out. I think that's it. We're dealing with weather conditions. I think we hit other topics, right? Hopefully. So if you guys have any questions you want to ask us, because it is a Q&A. So the floor is you guys. And just ask away anything you guys want to know. I think the next video I'm going to release, you guys are going to like. It's about the sales coming up. So definitely don't forget to hit that subscribe button and thumbs up if you can. How many months in the year do you guys deal with extreme cold? Dave, I'm about 3 months. How about you, Dave?
It's these last couple of years, it's been pretty, it hasn't actually been that bad. It's been nice. And it's been really, really weird. Our winters have been super off lately these past couple of years. So typically our winters start now. So we're kind of, this year's for some reason going on track, but November, December, January, February, somewhere into March. So we're dealing about 4 or 5 months worth of, cold to winter weather is what we're dealing with. But these last couple of winters before, we haven't really actually gotten snow or seen snow. I think last year wasn't until like February or April until we actually saw, legit snow, which is pretty crazy. So we're dealing about 4 to 5 months of winter. Then spring, we just have rain for about a month, 2 months. We get 90 days of summer. That's what we get. And that's all we get.
So let's see. Do you have any winter tires, dedicated winter tires for your van?
I have not. This is going to be this will be the second winter with the Transit. Last year it was completely fine. No issues in the snow. Zero issues in the snow last year with the Ford Transit Connect long wheelbase. I know they have two different versions. I know some guys have the shorter wheelbase. I have the longer wheelbase. I don't know if it makes a difference or not. But no, that Transit, it was just kind of plowing through last year, and I didn't need any I didn't have any issues with it. But if there's 6-7 feet of snow out there, something ridiculous, it's not getting, I'm not moving it.
No. Yeah, I have no need because I think we only get about maybe 2 months of snow, if that, like it's normally January, February, and that's it. That's kind of the only time it will snow. And most of the time the streets clear. And in DC, any snow, like, they shut down the world in DC. My mom is like, in Boston, we'll still be going to school and stores would be open. Nah. It'd be the only thing open is 7-Eleven with like a 1 inch of snow. So we don't really have to schedule anything. A lot of people are canceling appointments and stuff like that. So Any batter powered heat for dents? So I have the Milwaukee heat gun. It's a battery powered heat gun. I don't know how well it's going to do outside and the wind's blowing, but I do use it a lot indoors. Or if I just randomly like just pull the car in and it's just inside, just the wind is not blowing on it, and it will heat that panel up. A lot of times customers just don't want to see you apply a torch to their vehicle. So I tend to lean towards that. And also there's a flameless torch. Hopefully I'm saying that right, Dave. Is that's what they call it?
The little adapter.
Oh, it's adapter onto the torch?
I believe so.
Okay. So it's like $40.
Regular torch.
Okay. Okay. With the flame.
I'm the guy that the customer, like you just said, they don't want to see. That's me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, they got a $100,000 car and they see you torching it. And you're like, oh man, I don't know if this is the right guy.
Well, we've been this for a very long time. So, you know, you can call someone else, but I know we can do it. This is just what we do. Yeah. But that's how I was taught. You know, I mean, that's how I was taught. Heat gun was it. And, you know, and the thing was, if you don't have a heat gun, here's a torch. It's the next best thing. But when you're dealing with severe weather for a long amount of time, a torch sometimes, you know, isn't the right tool to use. A battery powered heat gun may be best, maybe actually just corded heat with constant heat. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of times those are the better options. But when you're getting like, say, maybe right now, like the fall months, when it's get the, you know, you get a little chill, that torch can kind of take the chill off of the panel. But if you're dealing with a specific piece of damage, you're going to be on it for a while. I think constant heat with a corded gun or maybe a big battery powered cordless heat gun would be the right application rather than a torch.
So Kevin just gave a link of what I'm talking about. I think Kevin, they actually are cheaper. I just don't know where, maybe on Amazon. I think they're like 40, 50 bucks or maybe even 60 bucks. I think the link you sent was around $90. So, but definitely that's what a lot of people use for constant heat. And honestly, I think, you know, with propane, you get just, you know, more, you just get more heat out of it. And so, you know, that's, you know, like Dave said, we've learned from the flame. You know, I'm not going to lie, I messed up one car to learn my lesson.
I've done one and it was white.
I learned my lesson. It was white too. Yeah, a little bit too much heat. And I was inside and it was dark. It was cold. I went inside his garage. He has no lights in his garage. I'm using my light and I'm just hot. So I'm not even dead on. It's like a one car garage and I'm trying to do this door dent. We go to pull out the car and I'm just like, why is it tan? And boy, I'm out there for 2 hours wet sanding, hoping and praying I don't have to paint his door. But we had to paint the door. So it is what it is on that one.
For the newer
that
techs
was a long
out there,
time ago, man.
To go. Torch, you can mess some things up real quick. So if you guys are going to use a torch, FYI, you know, I'm doing 8 to 10 inches back off that panel and just doing a nice big wave.
Keep moving. Yeah, stay moving.
Keeping that constant heat moving, mm-hmm. moving, never in one spot. But it's just going to take longer than if you did have a nice heat gun or a propane or a battery powered, you know, heat gun, something like that.
Yeah. And I was a 1 year tech. I remember that. Oh, that was a painful day. I was there for like 6 hours and still couldn't bill them anything. Bad day. Let's look back at these questions here quickly. Dave, do you use your work car is also your daily driver?
It is not.
All right.
Used to be.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yes, the Milwaukee is the has the the cordless heat gun is what it's called. What else are we going through here? Let me see these questions here.
Well, Kevin asked me, he said last show that I said I could work a whole car using three tools, which is the 36-inch blue handle door tool from Blem, a dent dial, and a dent craft whale tail. Which dent craft whale tail length and head size? That's tough.
Yeah,
you're kind of catching tough. Me up. You're kind of catching me up there. But I'm gonna have to go either with the not the fat heads, but just like the regular standard, like wide head. Either
mm-hmm.
that
standard,
one,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The standard, and not the. I'm gonna say fat head, but it's the widest length they have. before you get into the fat heads.
So it's the standard.
The standard mm-hmm. whale tail, or not the ultra thin, the size up from that.
Okay.
I mean,
what's the length? What's the length would you get? I'm already thinking 36.
That's 36.
36. Maybe a 30 if they got it. I'm not too sure. I think he was hypothetically talking about that. So, three tools, whole car. That's a little rough. But I will say, on the hail side of things, I've seen a lot of guys fix. You know, I've seen one guy fixed probably about 28 cars for me, and he probably had about 20 tools on his cart. Now he did have a lot more tools in his truck, but he rarely went to his truck. The hail and the type of cars he was working on, he was able to do almost everything with about 20, I guess it's about 20 tools on his 17 tools on his cart.
So it's just the regular, it's the WT, which just stands for whale tail. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be that size. And probably the 30 inch one, that's kind of the go-to. So the WT 30. Which is your regular, not your ultra thin whale tail, but your step up from that, a little bit wider, and then just your standard whale tail. And it's going to be 34 inches. So either one of those, that's going to kind of give me, realistically, it's going to kind of get me all around the car, those three tools. Mm-hmm. The door tool is going to be universal for quarter panels, doors, and fenders. You can probably do under a hood if the holes are big enough, stuff like that. Your whale tails are going to get you under the hood or any bracing. Same thing with the roof, any bracing in there. Technically, if you wanted to, you can use the door tool improperly and use that as a rod straight up and down if you wanted to. And then the dent dial is going to be for any big damage, anything for body lines, anything for, nasty fenders, stuff like that. Or those weird, if you're able to take the door panel off and slide it in and get it, on a lower body line or upper body line, whatever it may be. But yeah, those three tools, essentially could get you around a whole car ish. Hypothetical, but there wouldn't be much more needed besides those, right? There's only gonna be a couple more things you'll need, a couple different sizes, maybe one or two different tools. But like you said, a 20 tool cart, if you know what you're doing, you can be just as proficient with that. Me and my cart, I know I have probably, I'm gonna say, anywhere 50 to 65, 70 tools somewhere in there between all the different sizes and the little ones and the big ones that are all stacked in there. Yeah, it's somewhere between, 50 to 70 tools. I don't know what it is, but, I see some of the guys going around and, they only have 20 tools in their cart, right? And I'm the type, do you have everything you really need? Like, what if there's that one car that you can't fix? You don't have that one tool, but that's just me. I like to be prepared and have pretty much everything that I need right then and there. And I'm not doing that running back and forth.
Definitely.
I'm trying to save as much time as possible.
But I would say, I did a video, guys, called The Go Bag from Ryan. And honestly, I was like, there's no way, it's beneficial, because you never know what you need when you go into the bike shop and do repairs. But I mean, I've seen Ryan work hell out of this go bag. R&I, like if you ride with Ryan, or hopefully he does some more YouTube videos, like everything is in his go bag. And I started to use the go bag that I bought, which I turned into an R&I bag. I started to use it as a go bag. And so that literally only has about maybe 12 tools in it, maybe a little more. And I'm able to get pretty much everything out, and I'm able to just throw it on my back, walk into the body shop, handle what I got to handle, and walk out. Also, Ultra Dent Tools has a lot of great tools that have the handles come off, and they also, you can add extensions to it. So technically, you can have a 38 inch rod or 60 inch rod in your bag that's in a book bag. So I thought that was pretty cool that Ultra has those little extensions that you can add. I think they're like 24 inches or 12 inches extensions. So you could just have two of those, and technically you have a longer tool for anything you need. So let's see. Do ratchet tools make a big difference for ease of use? I say yes.
100% is what I said. 100%. You know, when the ratchets first started coming out, I thought it was. I think they were already skeptical, out when I first started. They were already out, but I saw the usability of them and how easier they were going to make pushing. But I also said there's going to be like I don't want everything to be ratchet handled. I want there to be times where I need that power, and if you know, I don't want that ratchet to just skip. You know, if I know I'm really cranking on something, God forbid that ratchet takes a turn and that, you know, that thing's poking out the door or whatever it may be. You know, that can be kind of scary. But 100%, you know, ratchet tools make a huge difference. You're able to,
I agree.
You can have one tool and you have multiple in one. You know, you have a left and a right within one tool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, I definitely agree with you, Ryan. I mean, I'm sorry, Dave. Definitely agree with you. There's been times when I've been fatigued for pulling or using my wrist, and I'll just switch the handle around, and now I'm pushing.
Yeah. So, and I'm doing that more. Yeah. I'm doing a lot more pushing.
So I think we had a when Chad was on, he was speaking about some of the guys that are just having shoulder pains and wrist pains and you know, just all kinds of body aches after 20 years of doing this. So, you know, I think from pulling my wrist, I mean, you know, I can tell that it's going to be gone. Yeah.
You know, we're with PDR. There's a lot of times where you can position your body to make it somewhat, you know, a natural movement, but it's what we do. I mean, pushing above our head like this is not something I think we're naturally supposed to be doing, you know? Pulling with our wrists and our forearms, you know, is not a natural movement for us. So, yeah, we're taking a toll on our body. So if, you know, you these tools that are being made, kind of like how Chris had brought on the, you know, edge pliers, you know, and when people started coming out with ratchet handles, you know, so, all these different tools, and inventions that are coming out are making our jobs easier, right? And and some of them are helping us not take a toll on our body.
And like you said, that's where the tool industry I'm seeing is starting to go. More efficient tools, or you know, tools to make you more efficient and ease of stress on your body. I mean, look at this. I mean, before, I mean, we would have to hold two hands and move it. I mean, this makes it easy. I can position my body in a way that's relaxing, or you know, at least okay to stay at for a few minutes. And, you know, use my forearm more so than anything. Even with, I think there's this simple thing called the lift right mini lifter. And so normally when you're working on a roof, you're lifting like this. So your wrist is constantly under tension and then you got to pull up. Well, the lift right puts your hand at this position and you just squeeze. It's a lot more natural movement. So just in the mini lifter, it shocks me why no mini lifter figured that out, where it's better. Now, I haven't used one. There may be some flaws of why, you know, Kiko and all these mini lifters that came out didn't want to design one that was more, parallel with the vehicle. But it seems like the lift right is doing wonders for guys.
Right.
I mean, you have one, right?
Yeah, and I've been using that. So my Robo Lifter, my Kiko Robo Lifter broke, I think about 2-3 months ago. I had I had my old one, which is the extra, the Worth or whatever, the regular standard mini lifter.
Right, right.
I've been using that since the Kiko broke, and I didn't order another one. And then the Lift Right came out, and I said, you know what? Let me try that instead of the Kiko. And man, that thing is, I mean, and I brought it on the show before, and I said I liked it, but after, you know, really putting it through its paces these past couple weeks since I brought it on the show before, that thing is nice. The way it swivels, it's just smooth. Everything is enclosed, and kind of like the Kiko, over time, it seemed like that turning mechanism would just like get tighter and tighter, maybe 40 or something. This thing, I mean, the lift right is super smooth. It swivels really, really nice. The power is there. It has power.
Oh, wow.
When you're squeezing, I mean, you're feeling it. So if you guys don't have the lift right and you guys are, you know, needing a new mini lifter, I'd give it a shot. I'd definitely check it out. And if you haven't, or maybe wait till MTE, see how you like the ergonomics of it. Maybe you don't like the straight on, you know, pulling motion. Maybe you do like the overhand, you know, squeezing motion that way. So if you guys haven't, you know,
I tell you, you know, when you're overhand, when you're using it overhand, you tend to move the
you're not going to go straight up and lifter, down.
Right. So it's not going to be kind of square with the panel. You either rest your hand forward or back with that lift right. It's just there. You're just squeezing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just seems like you'll be more power. Square on the panel. And so when you go to pull up, there's no distortion one way or the other. And that's another reason why I use those white tabs, guys, that I have on my show from time to time that I show you guys, because the head, that the stem actually flexes. So the green tabs, if you pull them wrong, it's going to do damage. So that's why those white tabs are great that you get for Dick Craft if anybody's interested. But yeah, the lift right seems to be an awesome tool. That it's crazy because the mini lifter was out for what, maybe 15 years, give or take, 12 years, and no one said that it could be better. So kudos to whoever built that lift right. Hopefully it's patent, because it's a great tool.
Ray, actually, he's a local tech to Chicago, Ray Sapnew. Nice. Really, really nice guy. I think he chases Hale full time. Maybe does some stuff here local, but I think mostly just chases Hale. And he actually, really, really good guy. Awesome, awesome product. So shout out to Ray for that. And thank you for the one time I needed a slide hammer because I didn't have one. And I met up with him and he randomly gave me like another one. It's like, thank you so much. I had a Hale car or something. So Ray's an awesome guy. He's local here to Chicago. If you guys haven't, you know, checked out his product, the Lift Right, you need to.
Yeah, I think I got to get one. So the Dent Reaper, I have not tried the Dent Reaper. Reaper, but it is literally in my cart, so I have to order them. So I think that is a tool that you should have. I am on this tip of I want to, when I go to MTE, I'm going to check out the Ultra Dent tools and their adjustable handles. They're interchangeable handles. Because I really think I want to switch all my tools over to that come 2019. So we'll see.
Guys, check your local Baltimore DC Craigslist for any old PDR tools. Yeah, if you do switch over, I think you should do a giveaway.
That's a good idea.
That's what you're gonna do. I'm telling you right now.
My tools are sentimental to me. There are some tools that I've had built, and it's like I can't get it.
When you switch over, and I know you're gonna, like, I just like, guys, like, I know Chris. I talk to him every day. You know, he's gonna look at the Ultra set. He's like, I don't really know. I'm just like, no, you should probably do it. He's gonna do it. So 2019, just Chris is already letting you know he's gonna have the fall. But I'm letting you also know that he's going to give away a lot of his old stuff on YouTube. So watch out for that.
You know, it'd be nice to like auction it off and give it to charity. That would probably be pretty hot.
You know, there's a tech.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Come up with some ideas, guys. Let's see what we can do. All right. One Dendal. If you only have one Dendal, which would you choose? Dendal narrow enough to gain. Come on, move. Gain access through the door wiring harness plugs. Some of them.
It depends on which plug. The 22 will fit. It just depends on the vehicle, I think, when going through the wiring harness. But as for length, you know, we've mentioned this before. Me and Ryan, who's not here tonight, but me and Ryan both bought the 22 heavy duty at MTE last year. I use it pretty consistently. But there are times where I would like the 35. So I don't know what that does for you guys.
Yeah.
But I know Chris does have both.
Yeah. I mean, I use it equally, to be honest with you. There is times that I wish I had the 35 heavy. The light is just a little too light. Case in point, that the 22 is just not long enough to do those Dodge Challenger doors. It doesn't give you the leverage But it gives it
to you, and you just you're pushing or you're bending the handle.
I'm only saying that because
that's all I have, and I know, so I don't want anyone to get misconstrued that you can't fix it. You're pushing. You're cranking.
Yeah, and at that point,
35 would be a lot nicer.
A lot, like night and day. Because those dents are not dents that you're going to be done in like 20, 30 minutes. You're out. That was a two-hour dents of you pushing, especially the ones that are hit very hard. You got to rebuild the body line for like, an inch of the body line needs to be rebuilt. So I feel as though, but the 35 heavy flexes. So I'm always pulling it back out of the door, rebending it and molding it to the angle that I want, and then putting it back so I can get that leverage back. So I don't know. I tend to probably want that 35 heavy more so than the 35 light. I am going to talk to Sal about that and see if he kind of agrees with me, because he uses it, obviously his tools way more than me. But he recommended me the 22 heavy and a 35 light, and then that's what I ordered.
And I don't know if you've seen with the 35 light that photo that he has on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so he has the 35 in the door, and he actually, and Kevin said something here too, adding a pry bar. So Sal, he has the dent dials in the door, and then it's this big pry bar that it's some crazy stuff, man. I mean, like that, it's just power for days.
And honestly, that wouldn't be that hard. Like, even if you just got some like small, like half inch, just tubing, and just bolt it to the dent dial, and there's your leverage on that same car that I'm talking about.
Yep.
And you're golden. You don't need the 35 anymore.
Yeah.
That's one thing about his tools. You basically build what you want.
Yeah.
And I haven't really wrapped my mind around it, because we normally just use what we have instead of, you know, figuring out a different option. I mean, Sal's contraptions and all this stuff, half the stuff he don't even sell on his website that you see him using though. So you got to like build your own. I mean, I got to put 2x4s and, you know, I'm using nuts and bolts. Kevin. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. You can, that is creative. That's stuff that I just overlook. Like I was not trained like that. Yeah. So it's just something that I'm still trying to use it as a flat bar more so than a versatile tool that can just do whatever, you know? So, and I've never really seen him with a rod. Does he have like a door rod, or is he just always using a dent dial?
He's got a PVC pipe. I know that's what he's got. He's got a PVC pipe. But Jay Panic had asked a couple things here. He said, who's the best R&I guy on YouTube? I personally don't know.
I don't know. Not me.
I'm looking for R&Iing of a panel. I'm just going to hit Google and hopefully it pops up on YouTube. But if not, there's a bunch of R&I Facebook groups. So just kind of search for those. Just put in R&I, or there's dent related ones as well.
And then
X-ray vision photos or something like that. So if you guys aren't a part of those on Facebook, just search dent in Facebook and then hit groups, and you'll find all the dent groups that are out there, and just join them all. But there's a lot of information on Facebook with R&I that a lot of guys have put out there for us. So I use that pretty religiously. If I have a question, or if I don't know a vehicle, I'm going to go to Facebook. I'm going to search. There's two groups primarily that have a lot of stuff. One has, you know, some more than the other or whatever. So, but I'm searching those groups, and I'm using a general, search keyword, which is going to be the make or the model. And then maybe door, you know, but I'm using very general terms, but I'm searching within those groups to find hopefully someone posted access to that panel or, you know, how to remove something. Facebook's going to be what I use for R&I.
And, you know, also Mobile Tech RX, has, if you remember, and I think you do the comprehension pricing,
comparative pricing.
Yeah, that's what it is. They allow X-ray pictures for, I think, about maybe 70-80% of the cars that are currently out there, and more are coming. And talking to them last year, they were talking about videos. I mean, maybe through the grapevine, maybe I'm spilling the beans here, but I thought they were going to do little mini videos, little tutorials. So that may come out in the future. So, you know, look for that, guys. Mobile Tech RX is like where it's at, man. They're just constantly getting better and better. So that may help you.
Yeah. So if you do need an RNI, try one of those comparative pricing on Mobile Tech RX or Facebook groups. And then a car lift. If I'm at a body shop or something like that and the car happens to be on a lift, maybe I'll use it. Or if it's at the body shop, I'll use the lift, but it's not something that I'm just going to either carry around or a jack or anything like that. If it's already on a lift and I say, hey, can you lift it up for me? Then cool. I got lucky, you know?
Yeah, I do use a jack a lot. So I tend to carry a jack in my vehicle anywhere I go. I mean, I do a lot of, you know, quarter panels, and we tend to check to see if there's any access holes in the wheel wells of those quarter panels. So I tend to just run like a Harbor Freight little low profile jack, aluminum jack. So any other questions? Or that's it. I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's it. Well, guys, I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight on... Wow, this thing just completely canceled on me. But I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on episode 41. I greatly appreciate it. Sorry for the inconvenience at the beginning. I quite didn't have it public for you guys, so you guys didn't get the link. But I appreciate you guys joining us tonight and every night. Dave, want your outro plug?
Dave, Windy City Dent Repair. I'm still trying to ramp up my YouTube channel. I've kind of been talking about this since episode one. My content isn't as consistent as Christopher Ray's over here with Dentless Touch. But if you guys can go over to Windy City Dent Repair on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe. I'm trying to come out with as much as Chris. But I'm a mobile tech and dealing with weather conditions, unfortunately. So, you know, I'm out here in the elements with everyone else, so I can't just film all the time. But
come on, go back and look at my videos in 2016 and 17. I'm outside. What are you talking about?
I'm just busting with Chris. But David, Windy City Dent Repair, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Check me out. And if you have any questions, go ahead, DM me, message me. Always willing to answer a question.
And please go ahead and give us a thumbs up on your way out, guys. I greatly appreciate it. Chris Dentless Touch, you can find me on social media. Instagram is the best, or Facebook Messenger. So I don't want to mislead you guys. Definitely join, follow me on Facebook. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. If I don't see you guys before, as far as the videos.
And next week's going to be really crazy. Actually, I'm going to go out to the East Coast for the holidays with these guys. So Ryan and Chris, I'm going to be out on the East Coast from Wednesday this week to Wednesday next week. So, possibly doing the show from one of these two guys' houses next week, which will be fun. So, have a happy Thanksgiving, guys. Yep. And thanks for watching. We really do appreciate
Dave
it.
Dave might be right here.
I could. Yeah, I might be right there.
So, all right, guys. Thanks for watching. See y'all later. Peace. Have a good night. See y'all later. Happy Thanksgiving.